I want to talk about faith today. It's a big subject. You notice in the title, it's got Hebrews 11 faith question mark. And so we go through this, see a number of changes of how that they express faith. And the subject faith is pretty large, pretty big. I think sometimes we kind of hit and miss as we study faith. There's about, in most study Bibles, there's about 30 different categories of faith. And but I think Hebrews, the 11th chapter that we're going to talk about this morning, kind of brings it all down into 40 verses of what faith is. There are 317 verses of Scripture in our Bibles about faith. And so we could study for quite some time if we take it all apart, and hope that you do that. A lot of times this chapter is referred to as Faith Hall of Fame, and talking about all those different ones that had faith. We're going to break it down a little better or a little more this morning. We're going to look at five thoughts that I want us to think about found here in the Scripture. First of all, in the first verse, it tells us what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I kind of just put this kind of in my own words. It's the manifest will of God. It's God's will, what it is, and it becomes a reality. We don't see it. It's spiritual. But as we pray, as we trust God, as we follow Him, it becomes visible in our lives in lots of different ways. And so it's bringing the spiritual realm into the natural realm that we live in. I was kind of interested this week. I got a hold of the book Mr. Rogers. You might think this is kind of childish, but it's probably one of the best books I've read for a long time. And I'm going to give a quote out there, but I would encourage everyone, adults and kids, youth, to read this newest book about Mr. Rogers. And but anyway, I thought this quote was very interesting and kind of fits in here with what this first verse is about. It says, the most important object in the office of Fred Rogers was probably a framed quotation from, and I only just give you the first name because I can't say the rest of it, Antonin de Saint. Well, I'll try Exupery, okay? And you might say, well, what's that all about? But it, he had had a saying. He was a pilot during World War II. He was an aristocrat. He was a dashing war hero and an author. And maybe some of you have read this of the classic 1943 novel, The Little Prince. But the word that is expressed in this plaque on this wall in this office of Mr. Rogers, it says, what is essential is invisible to the eyes. What is essential is invisible to the eyes. And I thought that really kind of fit on. And he goes on to talk about it this way. This expressed one of his fundamental beliefs. The moments that gave meaning to life were infused with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, ineffably binding together the universe. They rarely flickered into human awareness, but he knew it happened when two people found a secret bond by praying for each other. and not only for praying for each other, but when we pray, that what is invisible, the essential things that you and I need in life, they're invisible, and yet through prayer, they can become visible. And that's what this first verse is talking about. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and verses 10 through 4, I'd like for you just to kind of follow through as I read this. It says, these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. Those essential things, they're invisible. It says, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. I think those verses probably really sum this up about the things of God that are invisible and how that we need to get the mind of God so I know what His will is. I think sometimes when we talk about prayer, we bore ourselves sometimes and waste a lot of time in prayer by not praying His will. Have you ever prayed your own will? I have. A lot of times when I try to pray our way instead of what God's will is, it makes prayer laborious. It makes our relationship with God hard work. And so that's the first thought, what faith is. Hope you got a little bit of that, okay? But especially that the things that are essential for our life are invisible, and they become visible as we pray and begin to find out what God's will is. Second thought is without faith. Says it's impossible to please God. It's not like a negative thing that he's saying here. It goes on in that verse. It says in verse 6, it says, those that come to Him, says those that believe that He is. That's a very important thing that we'll look at in just a moment. And that He is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. God so desires for you and I to be dependent on Him. The reason is because He knows what you really need. Sometimes I don't really know what I need. And I pray all around the world sometimes. And it's what God's will is. I have to know that it comes from His Word. And when we begin to talk about believe that He is, it's talking about God, to believe in God. In verse 3, he starts with this, I believe it's a great motivator that motivates our faith. In that third verse, he talks about creation and the Creator. And it's interesting as you read the Bible that over and over when the children of Israel, all through the Bible, that where people were trying to encourage their faith and to encourage themselves to pray what it was that God's will was for them, many times they would motivate themselves, first of all, about talking about creation. In the Psalms, lots of times, even when David is discouraged and when he's down, He'll start off with recognizing how big and how great God is. And he talks about his creation, talks about the universe, how big it is. And it motivates them and it goes on encouraging them to look at the things that God has done in their life and the things that God wants to do in their life in the future. And that's what God wants to do. He wants us to become dependent on Him, wants us to trust in Him for the things that He really knows what I need. A lot of times we might pray for the food we eat or all those things it talks about in Matthew, the sixth chapter. He says, don't worry over those things. But he says, your Father in heaven, God already knows you need those things. It's kind of like, we're reiterating things that are already God's will to be in our life. In Habakkuk, the second chapter in the 14th verse, when we talk about creation, I like this. It says, the earth is filled with his knowledge and glory. That's another good study, to study creation, study this universe and how it's put together. I love to read and to hear sermons by some of these guys that talk about the universe and creation, how great it really is. So we want to now move to by faith. Okay, we talked about what faith is. We talked about without faith, God wants you to have faith, trust in Him. But he says in this third verse, and it's the crux of our faith to see God, how big He is. It says, by faith, we understand the worlds that were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Takes us right back to what faith is. It's the substance of what we hope for, what we need, and yet I can't see it, but it will become evident in our life as we pray, as we study God's Word, as we call in really to existence these things that are there for us. I don't think that it's really a coincidence that Genesis 1, 2, and 3, the creation is the first thing in the Bible, that our Bibles that we have, that we can, if we can get a hold of who God is, how big He is, how great He is, how much He loves us. It says then it encourages faith. We have somebody that we can go to like that. But anyway, this third thought, by faith. It's kind of interesting. We're going to talk about by faith. And then we're going to talk about through faith. Okay? First of all, he talks about by faith. And we're not going to read these verses, but in 29 verses here, verses 2 through 31, the Hebrews writer gives 21 different things or people that accomplished God's will for their lives by faith. 21 different examples, things that we can look at and say, okay, here are some people that we can follow. Boils down really when, as I said before, 317 verses, he kind of brings it together in these 40 verses here in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And then we want to talk about through faith. He adds to these 21 different occasions there in these first 31 verses. He adds another 6 names, and as you look at those names, you'll find them at different places in Scripture, and it gives us the example of how that through faith, not by faith, but through faith. And you'll understand in just a moment. He said there was six other names, the prophets. He talks about women and others. You know, when we look at that word others, it's by the thousands that went through, they went through their situations in life through faith. Thousands of them were persecuted, martyred in Rome in the Colosseum there under Nero, that leader. And still today, and you know, it's not a great book to read, but Fox's Book of Martyrs, I don't know if any of you have ever read that, but it gives you hundreds of things that how that they persecuted people and how that they martyred them. It's hideous sometimes when you look at it. But it says all of those people, not only these six names, not only these, not only the prophets, and as we read the prophets, many of them suffered persecution. People that it says women that received their the dead back to life. They went through these things in life through faith. And then when we stop to think about today, they say that more than 100,000 people are martyred in our world today, usually within a year's time is the measure that they put upon that. So think about it, thousands upon thousands, even these examples in the Bible, people that live for God through faith, okay? Through faith. And then I like where that it comes back to at verse 39, it says, all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, and then in verse 2 says, by faith, elders obtained a good testimony. It didn't matter whether it was by faith or through faith, through the things they were going through in life, that they obtained a good testimony. And the interesting thing is, they didn't even have the promise that we have today. They could only look, some of them, forward to Jesus Christ coming. And that we can have faith in Jesus and have our salvation and then these other things. I think it's here in the 40th verse, it says that he has something better for us. All the way through the book of Hebrews, as you study it, you'll find that he presents things that were Old Testament examples like here. But he says, when he looks at us and what we have today, it's better than what it was then. We have Jesus, the greatest example, the greatest one that we can have faith in and follow him. I think it's interesting that in the midst of these through faith experiences, look at verse 38. There's these words added. And yes, the words and yes is added there in that 38th verse. What he's saying is that, you know, those that by faith follow Jesus, that was God's will. And sometimes we have a problem with thinking that what I go through in life with the help of Jesus, that he's saying that's God's will too. I don't think there's any of us that don't go through circumstances and situations when we follow Jesus, even in this day. But the Word tells us, and we'll read it in just a moment, that always with God, it's always yes. It's not no. You know, sometimes we look at it and say, well, I can look at the by faith and the through faith, and I'd rather have the by faith, because through faith, it didn't look very good. But even by faith, they went through struggles and circumstances. But I think that 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 17 through 22, where Paul talks about what God's will is and how that God's will is always yes, whatever we're going through. Notice here at the 17th verse, he says, "Was I fickle when I intended to do this?" He was deciding whether he was going to come back to the Corinthians here. And he says, "Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say both yes, yes, and no, no?" He says, is God's will yes and sometimes no? He's building this conclusion, but as surely as God is faithful, because God is faithful no matter what we go through, it's His will. And He will bring about His will in the midst of it. He says, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. And so as I preach this, I hope that you can get a hold of this, that God's will is not yes and no, but in Him it has always been yes. See, that if I'm in Jesus, if I'm using Him as my example, my faith is in Jesus. He says that whatever I go through in life, He's always going to bring it to yes. Yes, yes. Notice as he mentions that they are yes in Christ. So there's by faith, through faith, in faith in Christ. And then he goes on to say, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. And so, you know, whatever we're going through, it's Jesus that's going to help us to stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, the word says, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. You know, the last thought is, our name added to these annals of faith in the Lord. You may be thinking, well, I'd rather be the by faith group. It didn't seem like they had all this things that they had to go through. I don't know about the through faith group. Was what this group went through God's will, and that's what he's answering as we read there in Corinthians. Something better for us. This is the conclusion. Something better for us. Faith in Jesus who brings salvation, and that through Jesus, our faith in God brings everything that God, it says all of his promises. All of his promises are for us if we'll just have faith in God, have faith in Jesus. I thank the Lord for this opportunity just to be able to think about faith and to exercise that now as we go to the Lord. Pastor's coming and is going to lead us in a response time.
If you would bow your heads with me, and we're going